So today we talk about Thomas. And what do we know about Thomas? Well, there's not a whole lot. Most of the stuff that we know about Thomas comes from the Gospel of John. Okay, and in that gospel, we hear several things that Thomas does, and probably the biggest thing that he's called, which is kind of sad, because Thomas ends up being a great follower of Jesus. But there's one moment that any of the disciples who had been caught in this situation most likely would have said the same thing, and that was after the resurrection, Jesus appears to 10 of them, and one is missing, and it's Thomas. And so when Thomas comes back to the group, they all tell him about how Jesus appeared to them. And of course, his response is, "You're joking, right?" And he says, "Unless I see the holes and the nails from the nails in his hands and from where he was speared in the side, I cannot believe." And so the next time Jesus appears, Thomas is there. And he says to Thomas, "Come, touch my feet, touch my hands." I got to know which one's my feet and hands. "Touch my side." And Thomas just simply says, "My Lord and my God." It's a tremendous statement that he makes. And Thomas is one who seeks out. We don't know a whole lot about him, but when he asks questions, he asks questions that are pertinent. Like today, as we hear in this very familiar passage about Jesus who says he's got to go away and that he's going to prepare a place for his disciples and for his followers. And he says, "You know the place where I'm going." And of course, what he's referring to is the fact that after the fact that he is going to be delivered up, he's going to die and he's going to rise again. And the disciples still, it doesn't register with them. And when he talks about being away, they don't know where he's going. And that's why Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And then Jesus responds by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, Thomas, we don't know, as with all the disciples, we don't know a whole lot of what happens afterwards. We only have what are legends, stories that have been passed down through the ages. Thomas, whose name actually means twin, in the Arabic. So he really doesn't have a name. He's being called the twin. In fact, the Greek is Didymus. You may have heard of that name. We don't know who his twin is. Some suggested it might even be Jesus, but that, again, is just kind of conjecture. We know that Thomas, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, goes off, and he begins to minister to those around him, and he ends up heading east. And he goes into Syria, and supposedly he went as far as the western shore of India. And to this day, there is a community near Madras who claims to be descendants of the witness that Thomas made to their forefathers so many years ago. Now, again, we don't know this, but we do know that there is a Christian presence in India. How it got there, we can only assume or make a connection that maybe it was Thomas. Thomas was known as a carpenter, so when you see depictions of him, he is usually holding a T-square, and oftentimes you might see him holding a spear, which is the way in which he died. He was speared to death. All of the disciples, with the exception of John, died a rather violent death. And when you think about the last 2 weeks of our conversations that we had through the Gospels, about 2 weeks ago, where we hear Jesus is approached by three individuals, and each saying that they would like to follow Jesus, and Jesus talks about having no place to stay. He talks about how let the dead bury the dead, and that anybody who keeps their hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy to be in the kingdom of God. They are tough words. He's talking about, if you're going to follow me as disciples and as these individuals that we just talked about found out, that it would be a rigorous thing to follow Jesus. It wasn't something to take lightly. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you like to ask questions? If you had the opportunity to ask questions, would you ask questions without any feelings of embarrassment whatsoever? I know sometimes we want to ask questions. It's like when we're kids in school, we kind of feel like we don't want to raise our hands because we don't want to sound like we're really ignorant. But the reality is we'd like to know an answer. If you had that opportunity, my guess is you would ask those questions. I imagine that you have lots of questions to ask God or to ask Jesus if you have that opportunity. And I believe we all will. But right now, there is something that we have to do, and that is that we have to live by faith. That is, that there are things that we cannot prove. There are things that just we're not able to conjure up and to say, okay, here it is. When people ask questions of us, of our faith, how can you believe in a God we hear out of the Old Testament who punishes and does all these things? How can you believe in a God who talks about his son and puts him on the cross? And the only thing I can say is that I just know. I can't prove it. I can explain that how people have shared their faith with me. I have seen how people have connected with me. I have seen how people have borne witness to this very love of Christ that has embraced me. I can only say, look around you. And even though there are many other faiths that are out there, we strive to be a faith of love. It's not one of judgment. And that gets confused at times. And we need to see what it is. And after what we heard yesterday or last week with Paul's reading and saying the top thing that we should do to follow is that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, what more do we need to ask about that? Now, when I was a kid, I loved to explore things, and some things I should not have gotten into. Now, those of you who are young, I'm not suggesting that you go out and do this, please. I'm just telling this story because you can see what kind of a crazy person your pastor is. But as a kid, I was fascinated with electricity. Now, it wasn't something where I stuck my finger in the socket, and please don't do that. But one of the things that, you know, I grew up with was my father was also a train enthusiast, so I became a train enthusiast, and he would, put this board together, and we'd wire all these wires, and we had the buildings were all lit up, and they were those old Noma serial lights. You know, when one went out, they all went out. But you could cut the wires, and you could space them out so that your houses would be, you know, lit throughout the whole board. And I learned how to do that by watching him. And I also was fascinated with my brother's stereo set. Of course, my brother wasn't happy that I was fascinated with this. But, you know, I like to take things apart and put things back together. And sometimes I couldn't put it back together. And then there were things that I would do is that I would take something from one thing and put it with another thing that wasn't supposed to be together. For example, we had a blinking light, and it had a little cylinder on it that made it blink. So I had a string of those serial lights in my room, which I left up all the year long, and I thought, you know, it would be neat if I could make them blink. So I'm going to take this little cylinder, and I'm going to wire it to it, and I'm going to plug it in, and I'm going to make the lights blink. And when I did it, the lights didn't blink. I'm like, well, what's going on here? Maybe this is a problem that I have with computers today, Jonathan, I don't know. So I went over and I'm playing around with the wires and everything, and all of a sudden the cylinder exploded in my hand. It went poof, and of course there's that smell of ozone, you know, that fills, and I tripped the circuit breaker. Of course, my mom comes running in and said, David, what did you do? She didn't even have to say what happened. She just said, David, what did you do? But sometimes when it comes to our faith, you know, it's okay to question. It's okay to ask questions, to talk to each other, and to explore Scripture, and to be able to formulate your own understanding. It's okay to seek out. You know, we hear the first reading today from Judges and the whole story of Gideon. I love this story, and it would seem that, you know, Gideon's doing something we've been told that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to test God. But Gideon's been asked to do something pretty awesome and overwhelming. He is supposed to take an army and defeat the enemies that are surrounding Israel, the Midianites. And so he's asking for proof that God has extended this mission to him, that he is the one to lead these Israelite soldiers against in battle. And so the first thing he says is, you know, God, overnight, let the ground be dry, but let the fleece be wet. And sure enough, he wakes up the next day, and there it is. He wrings it out, fills a bowl. And then he reverses the request. He says, you know, God, please forgive me for asking this one more time, but just to be sure, this time, let the ground be wet and let the fleece be dry. And he found that out. And he knew at that moment that God indeed had called him to this awesome responsibility that would ultimately have him take from 36,000 soldiers down to 300 against thousands of the enemy to prove how mighty God is, and he was victorious. In our second reading for this day, Paul reminds us of how each of us are called for specific responsibilities. If someone were to ask me, did you have a specific moment when you knew that you were going to be a pastor? No, it just seemed like that was a natural thing to do. And I'm sure my father's ministry had a lot of impact on me. But, you know, I was looking at wanting to be a chef. I thought about that. I wanted to be perhaps maybe an emergency personnel, being a firefighter. There were all kinds of things I thought about. But it was the people that journeyed with me along the way that kept saying to me, you know, I think God's calling you to be a pastor. And it wouldn't always be in that way. It would be much more subtle, but there would be encouragement and there would be, you know, a little push. You know, David, why don't you take the leadership in this? David, why don't you preach at the youth Sunday? And it's like, no, I don't really want to do that. But you see how God calls you up. Just as God called Thomas and the other disciples to follow, God's called you too. Each of you in your own way, God has called you. And as we gather together on this weekend of the 4th of July and we celebrate our independence and celebrate the fact that we have this thing called democracy and freedom, I want to remind you. And indeed, we are grateful for all who have served faithfully this country. We are in their debt. But I want to remind you that there is one, only one, who has given us true freedom. And that freedom is as much as I am independent to a degree in this community, it's the knowledge of knowing that as I go forth and as I share the gospel, that I don't need to be afraid of what is out there. In many cases, every Sunday that we leave this place, and maybe you don't think of it this way, and maybe it's good that you don't, but there is a sense of going out into the den of lions. Because, you know, Christianity isn't a popular thing. In fact, if anything, people like to mock it, and as there is this sense of growing feelings that there is no God, and I think it's so sad. For me, that is the hope of all that is to come. For me, it is assurance of knowing that I'll be able to see my father and my grandparents and all those who have gone before me. It is the assurance of knowing that even though, and I hope I never am faced with this, but you never know that you are challenged in your faith, that it's either your life or your faith. What do you want to choose? I hope I can make the right decision. Thomas certainly did that. Each of those disciples after the resurrection certainly knew what Jesus was talking about. Each of them knew that eventually that they would be going out into a very hostile world. And in a way, we as Christians have gotten a little lazy about that because it's kind of, you know, we have our comfort zones and we want to sit nicely in our seats and we want our pastors to tell us everything's going to be okay and that God loves you, and God does. But what we don't like is that when we are challenged in this understanding of our Christian mission that pushes us to recognize neighbors that aren't going to believe the same way as we do or experience a lifestyle that is different than ours, that we are able to accept each other because the love that God gives to us is also for all people, whether they believe it or not. And what better way for us to be known than simply through that gift of love that God has blessed each of us. And so today, once again, you are invited after this message to respond to how God's Spirit has moved you. Come up to the table and to receive his body and blood as a way of saying, I am with you always. This is where I am. And to remind us that he has gone and to prepare a place for us as well. Only we don't have to ask the question, but we don't know where you're going, Lord. We knew what Jesus needed to do. And we know that Jesus is waiting for us. So until then, we ask that God give us the strength and the blessing. We celebrate the freedom of life that God has given us, how he has blessed us in this community, but most importantly, how he has blessed us to be free from our sins, and that we may focus on the love of others as God has taken the time to love each of us. Have a blessed fourth. And may we also follow as Thomas followed. Amen.